Exploring the Book of Ruth, Part 6, a part of God's plan. This is the final part of a series of reflections exploring the Book of Ruth in the Old Testament. Today we come to the end of the story of Ruth. It's been a story of tragedy, grief and hardship, giving way to kindness, hope and joy. It's a story of loyalty, generosity and love. It's a story which challenges attitudes towards outsiders. And it's a story of how God redeems one family through the actions of other people. But it's also a story which is part of a much bigger story. Family histories. Have you seen the TV program, Who Do You Think You Are? Research in family trees has been popular in the West as people try to discover their roots, who they really are. Perhaps they discover that they're descended from royalty in the distant past. More likely, they discover a few unknown relatives or maybe some skeletons in the cupboard. The Book of Ruth comes to a conclusion in chapter 4 with the birth of Obed to Ruth and Boaz. A baby, joy for Naomi as she becomes a grandmother. And it's ends with a short genealogy, not so much a family tree, but a line of descent. You can read it in the last chapter of the Book of Ruth, verses 18 to 22. This genealogy links the birth of Obed back through the generations to Perez, the son of Judah, who was one of Jacob's sons. So their child is descended from Jacob, the founding father of the people of Israel. The genealogy also links forward to the birth of King David. Obed, baby Obed, would become the great grandfather of David, who would be the greatest king of Israel. So at the end of this little story, we see that Ruth has been written into the big story of God and his people. But that story didn't end with King David, and Ruth gets another mention right at the start of the New Testament, in chapter 1 of the Gospel according to Matthew. Now, nobody knows exactly who wrote Matthew's Gospel, but it's obvious it was written for the benefit of early Christians with a Jewish background. So let's fast forward now from the time of Ruth to the first century AD. Let's imagine it's a few decades after Jesus' life and we're listening in as the author of Matthew's Gospel begins to write and think and talk about what he's writing. Let's look through the eyes of the author of Matthew's Gospel. How do I begin? How do I introduce Jesus to the next generation of my people? What will get their attention? I want to help them understand that Jesus is the Messiah, the promised King that the Jewish people have been waiting for. I know, a genealogy. My people take notice of family history. The family line of Jesus is something special. That's the place to start. So here we go. This is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Yes, Jesus descended from King David, the most famous king of the Jews. Well, until now. God promised that David's descendants would reign forever, and Jesus made it clear he was going to reign when he said to his disciples, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." But I also want to remind my people that Jesus is son of Abraham. Why? Because God promised Abraham that through his descendants, the whole world would be blessed, all nations. Jesus was born a Jew and brought the good news of God first to his own people. But then he sent his followers into all the world to share his teaching with people of all nations, to invite them into God's family. Now, for the genealogy, the first section is going to be easy. We Jews always start with Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. And then there's Jacob's sons, who began the 12 tribes of Israel. Judah was the eldest son, so his name is going to go into the genealogy. Something like this. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. Now, I'll just copy the next bit from the end of the book of Ruth, chapter 4, verses 18 to 22. Perez, the father of Hezron. Hezron, the father of Ram. Ram, the father of Amminadab. Amminadab, the father of Nashon. Nashon, the father of Salmon. Salmon, the father of Boaz. Boaz, the father of Obed. And Obed, the father of Jesse. And Jesse, the father of King David. I love that story of Ruth. In the face of tragedy, God brings hope to Naomi when there seemed no hope. And Ruth, the foreigner from Moab, playing such a vital part, sticking by Naomi, taking care of her, leaving her own people, the Moabites, and seeking refuge in Israel. That story has always reminded me that the Lord our God welcomes people of all nations. Boaz had the right attitude. Jesus had that same attitude. Do you know what? I'm going to include Ruth in my genealogy. And to make my point clearer, I'm going to mention another outsider, Rahab. You can read about her in Joshua chapter 2 and chapter 6, verse 25. She was a Canaanite in Jericho, a prostitute no less. Some people prefer to forget about her. Yet she believed in the Lord, helped our spies escape and sought refuge among our people. So my genealogy will read, Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Yes, that'll get people's attention. Oh, I've just noticed there's a gap between Judah and Perez. I'd better just fill that in. Judah, the father of Perez and Zerah. Whose mother was Tamar. Yes, another woman who was also an outsider, married into Judah's family. But she had to go to extreme lengths to make Judah face up to his family responsibilities. You can read about that in Genesis chapter 38 if you want to. But it's not a story for the faint-hearted. Okay, next I'll fill in some names from King David up to the time of my people were exiled in Babylon. That time of exile was painful for our people, but God didn't give up on us. Next, some names from Jeconiah in the exile, right through to Joseph, Jesus' earthly father. You know, we haven't had a true Jewish king in the last few centuries, but I want my people to know that that's now changed with the birth of Jesus. So I've grouped the genealogy into three groups of 14. That's six lots of seven. Jesus is going to be the start of the seventh group of seven. Seven is such a significant number in my culture. It will make my people think of Jesus as the fulfillment of God's promises. Hold on, though. It's still not quite right at the end there. I can't just say Joseph, father of Jesus. He was Mary's husband, and yes, he raised Jesus as his own son, but here's the thing. My people need to realize Jesus wasn't born from Joseph's seed. He was born of Mary through the miraculous intervention of God's Holy Spirit. I want to get that in right at the start of my gospel. It probably caused quite a scandal at the time, but I want to show my people that God sometimes works in unexpected ways. So I'm going to write Joseph, the husband of Mary, from whom was born Jesus, who is called Messiah. It breaks with the tradition of Jewish genealogies, but it will signal that the birth of Jesus isn't just business as usual. Okay, that should do it. The genealogy isn't comprehensive. There are a few gaps, otherwise I would have run out of scroll. But my purpose is not to create a historical archive. I want it to be more like a drum roll to get people's attention, like a fanfare and a build-up to announce the star of the show. Yes, I want people to understand that Jesus is the Messiah, God's chosen one, and the fulfillment of God's promises. More than that, I want people to know that Jesus is not only the King of the Jews, descended from Abraham and David, but the King of all kings. And I want them to understand that God's love and concern is for all peoples, not just a chosen few. People have a habit of forgetting that message, so I'm going to make sure it runs right through my gospel, right up till the end. I hope and pray many people will read it and take that message to heart. Now, a few questions for further reflection and discussion. Firstly, how has God worked through other people to give you life and hope? Second, I wonder if you feel more of an insider or an outsider. What does today's reflection say to you about your place among God's people and your purpose in God's plan? And three, how could you take steps to share God's love with people of different nationalities, either in our own community or in other countries?